I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtown. I don't want to be your stupid game with my big black boots and an old suitcase. Do believe I'll find myself a new place. I don't
being here. It's been a while since we had a show. I was a little under the weather, but I'm happy to be back, and I'm so happy to be giving readings tonight with Beth Blue. And Beth, how are you doing today?
I am doing fine, I think.
So we were talking, you guys, we were talking about, you know, because it is October, it's kind of that spooky time of year, which I love, and I think a lot of us, this is our favorite season. But so Beth has had some interesting things happen to her lately that she's going to share with us. And, you know, do you guys ever feel like things are happening for a reason? Like, you can see the path that you can see, like looking ahead and looking back, you can see the path and why things had to happen the way it did for you to get to be where you are right now. And I think that is what is happening to Beth, but I'll let her tell you what's been going on. It's so interesting.
really recently, like in the last month, all this, a couple of really weird things have happened. So I was looking over, the first thing, I was looking over a short story that I wrote years ago, and the inspiration for that story was when I took a trip down to Elizabethtown, North Carolina, and I swear that's not a made-up name, it's a real place, where we went for my grandmother's funeral, and she and my grandfather and a bunch of other people in my family are buried in a cemetery in Elizabethtown. And so we went down there for the funeral, and it was just such a weird experience for me that I wrote a short story about it. And I was looking, I never published it, but so I was looking over that story just a few weeks ago, and I remembered that while I was there, I took pictures of a bunch of stuff. I took pictures of these little cute little lizards that I found down there, and then pictures at the cemetery. And so I was like, well, you know what? I wonder whatever happened to those. They're probably in a box in the garage. And, you know, that means to me right now that I probably won't find them ever again. So I happened later, like a couple hours later, I'm walking through my living room, and I happen to notice there's, or so I have a bookcase that sits in the corner of my living room by two windows, and my cats sit on it. So there's nothing on top of that bookcase ever, because if I put anything there, they're going to knock it over and then probably pee on it. I don't know. So I don't put anything up there. But I walk by, and there's a photo album sitting on top of the bookcase. So I go over and look in the photo album, and the first page of pictures in the photo album are the pictures that I took after my grandmother's funeral down in North Carolina. And I was like, well, this is really creepy. So I'm looking around going, well, maybe I did it and just forgot, right? I'm looking around. I had my son look. We're looking at it. The dust marks where the photo album used to be were undisturbed. It was on the shelf below it. The dust on top of the photo album was undisturbed. So, you know, if somebody had moved it with a hand, like picked it up and moved it, it would have had some streaks in the dust, or the dust would have been disturbed in some kind of way. So I'm like, well, somebody came in here and moved that photo album and put it there for me to see. And because I asked about it. And so I was like, that is the craziest thing. But it gave me goosebumps like you wouldn't believe. So that's, you know, that was the first kind of thing.
Right.
Go ahead, Green.
Beth, do you remember we were talking about your grandmother before this happened?
I did not remember it until just now, actually, when you just said that just now. Because you're right. We were.
Yeah.
We had been talking about her.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
I think it is crazy. It is. Oh, my God. It's so freaky. But go on. And then you have to tell people how. Well, you go on to your next story, but you have to tell people how you got that reading and, you know, how the reader told you everything that had happened. But go ahead.
The second weird thing was, geez, it was like a week or so ago. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was setting up my – I make cold brew coffee at home, and I was setting up the – you know, the cold brew to, you know, steep overnight, and I was sitting there waiting for it to drip and all that stuff, and I heard this weird sound, and I was like, what is that? And it was just, you know, it sounded like something crawling around in the wall. I was like, God, I hope it's not like, you know, something crawling around in the wall. And it kept getting louder and louder, so I went and got my son. I was like, look, you got to come see what this is. What is this? And he comes in and starts listening. He's like, oh, my God, it's the microwave. I was standing right in front of the stove, which has the microwave above it. And he was right. He opened the door, and the turntable in the microwave was slowly going around. It stopped when we opened the door, but you could see that it had been going around. And then we shut the door, and it starts going again. But it's really, really, really slow. I was like, what the heck is this, right? I don't know what purpose it served or, you know, anything, but it – I asked my spirit guides, I'm like, make this stop, because it was really freaking me out. And they didn't do anything. They were just like, ah, ha, 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 she's funny. And so it just kept happening. So we took the plate out, and the little, I could still hear when I shut the door that the little turning mechanism was still going. It wasn't going at normal speed or anything. I took a piece of tape, right, and I put tape on top of the little turning mechanism, and I could I shut the door, and I could still hear it trying to turn. It was so creepy. I unplugged it for the night, because I was like, if this keeps going all night, it could be bad. You know, I didn't want a fire or anything like that. So I did unplug it.
Right.
I plugged it back in the next day, and it's fine. It's normal. It doesn't do anything all by itself at all. So I don't know what was going on, but yeah.
That's odd. Very odd.
Yeah, definitely.
So cool.
It was so weird.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Beth is in Virginia, you guys, and recently our very, very good friend Lisa Minetti passed away, and Lisa was an amazing author. She won the Stoker Award for her book, The Gentling Box. She also won the Stoker Award for one of her stories. Which story? Do you remember what story it was for, Beth?
No. I feel bad that I don't remember now.
I know.
I would know if I weren't trying to think of it. I would know.
Oh, was it
Dissolution?
Oh, God. I don't think it was Dissolution. I think it was We Are Free. That Work Makes You Free in German. That's what it was called, I think. Anyways, so.
Oh, yeah,
She's just a phenomenal. Yeah, okay. I can't remember. Like, I can't remember the German term for that. Macht Free.
I can't pronounce it.
Anyway.
I know that. You're right, though. That's
so
the one.
Yeah, so with every reading I do tonight, I'm going to blindly pick a line from her book, Death Watch, and I'm going to incorporate that in your reading when we start to give readings. And don't get scared or anything. I mean, we're going to have some fun with it because usually that's called bibliomancy, you guys, when you blindly pick, you open a book blindly and you put your finger on a page and you look down and you read it, and that is supposed to be a sort of fortune for yourself. So we'll see what comes up tonight.
That will be fun.
Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, Lisa was just amazing. But so Beth got a reading from Renee Richards, who is the queen of all readers. And she's just phenomenal. And Beth was able to experience a reading from Renee firsthand. And, of course, Lisa came right through, and we were able to talk to her, and it was just phenomenal. And Renee also picked up that Beth was very in tune and how did she put it, Beth?
I don't remember. Jeez. She picked up that I was, I really can't phrase it right. She picked up the fact that I used to be a total skeptic and am no longer a total skeptic, basically.
Right.
And I swear I'm so lucky to have been able to get that scheduled, even though it was a shorter reading than I would have liked, but still, boy, she is really booked up, and it's for good reason. So,
yeah, she is just amazing. I mean, I'm always bragging about her. She's just the best of the best. So that was very good that the timing of the reading coincided with Lisa's passing, and Lisa was right there to talk to us and, you know, just share some of what she's doing over there and what she would like us to do and things like that. So that was just wonderful. So for those of you who don't know, me and Beth have been to Lizzie Borden's house. If you don't know who Lizzie Borden is, well, you probably do, but there's a song, Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her father 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her mother 41. So it's a house in Fall River, Massachusetts, and me and Beth have been there a number of times. When we were there, Beth, were you there the time that all of us on one side of the table stood up because we felt something brush by our legs?
I'm not sure. I remember being there. Are you talking about being in the dining room?
Yeah.
parlor. Because I remember one time when I was there, we were in the dining room, and I felt something brush around, like go up, like brush up against my leg, and I thought it was the cat. Like the, I thought it was Max, the cat, at first, but he wasn't in there. So that might have been the same time.
Right. So, I mean, that is, in my lifetime, I think that is one of the greatest evidences, that night was one of the greatest piece of evidence I've had for, like, ghostly activity. And there was a dark figure that was in the room, and I remember watching the figure move to the door, and then it just went through the door. So what did you experience at Lizzie's, Beth? Like, what do you remember?
I don't remember what year it was, but the first time I went, I was all worked up. I had never been in a haunted house knowingly, anyway, before. I'd never purposely decided to spend the night in a haunted house. And so I was all worked up. I was exhausted from Nikon anyway, and I'm like, I'm just terrified going in, right? And the first thing that happened to me was I had to use the bathroom. And Leanne let us use the bathroom downstairs that most people are, you know, most people on the tour, that's not for guests and whatnot. But we were special, right? So I was going in that restroom. I went to go in there, and I heard what sounded like rice or ice pellets or something being thrown at the window. I turned around and went right back out, and I don't know what that was. Nobody was outside at the time. Everybody was inside. Marie, our friend Marie, happened to be in the kitchen, and this bathroom is right off the kitchen. And I told her what happened. She was like, I'll go in there with you. And so she came in, turned her back. I went to use the bathroom and all. No more weird sounds. But after that, I was convinced that something was, you know, going to chase me around. I did not sleep the entire night. And Lisa had to sleep in the bed with me because I was too afraid. I was afraid that if I opened my eyes, I would see, you know, somebody standing there in front of me. It was just it was fun after the fact, but I was absolutely terrified. How ridiculous, right?
No, I mean, the house definitely has some sort of aura about it that you're on alert, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every time I've slept there, even though I've slept in the bedroom where the murder of Abby happened, and I've slept in every bed in that house, you know. But I could never sleep alone. I did sleep alone one night when Heather Graham was with us. But anyway, that was because the sun had come up and I was like brave enough to go and lay down by myself. But the last time I was there was with Dennis and Lisa and Sephora. And, of course, Dennis passed. Lisa has now passed. And Leanne, who owned the house, has now passed. And it's so strange. I mean, it's not strange. It's like, you know, I know this happens in life, but it's like, I don't know. You know, I don't want to get upset talking about it, but I mean, it seems like doesn't it seem, Beth, like the best people do pass away too quickly?
It does. It really, yeah. There are a lot of bad people left. I don't wish death on anybody, but still, you know, it's just an observation. There are a lot of bad people in the world. And a lot of good people gone, so.
Yeah. But anyway, so we had a lot of fun there over the years. We would rent the whole house out, you guys, so it would just be us horror writers. So we would just, you know, we'd have the free reign of the house and be able to do whatever we wanted. And so it was really fun investigating there, but I'll probably never go back now, you know. Even though I went every year for probably 10 years, you know, but I'll probably
with new ownership, I don't imagine it's going to even be close to the same, you know, and especially not with the same people. or without the same people, it this would be weird.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to find a new haunted house.
Yeah, I know. Really, it's about time we moved on, right?
Yeah.
So, now two things that happened to you. Has there been other things that have happened to you, Beth, like dreams or other strange events?
You know, I have had several dreams about Lisa, and it started when she got sick. I would dream about her periodically, and in those dreams, she was sick. But we would always be at a writer's conference or someplace where we usually were together. But in those dreams, she was sick. Sometimes she was like wrapped like a swaddled like a baby, and I would carry her around, and we would go like to the bar and restaurants and all the things that we would normally do at a conference. And others, she was in a wheelchair, but she was always very ill. And after, this is the great thing, right after she passed, like within a week maybe, I can't remember how many days it was, it was within a week, I had a dream about her, and she was walking around. She was wearing an outfit that she used to always love wearing at conferences that she just, she looked great in it. And I just remember her in that outfit all the time. And so she's in the dream, she's wearing that outfit, she's talking, she's walking around, she's normal Lisa, And I was like, oh, my God, you have to sit down. You've got to take care of yourself. She's like, oh, no, I'm fine now, or something along those lines. I forget exactly what she said. But it was so weird, and it felt like, she was coming to tell me that she's okay. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, she was definitely doing that. And like she said to, when Beth got the reading from Renee, Lisa said, I am living my words.
And yes.
And with her writing, she was such a great researcher and such a great writer. And with she would try very hard to put you in the scene and everything like that. And she said all she had to do was think about it and it would appear. Whatever she had made up in her mind. So she was living her words.
Yep, absolutely.
She's just, I have dreams about her a lot too. And I know what you mean about the, how she was sick and you had to like kind of take care of her. And then now it's like, she's just bopping around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so Beth and I were told also that Lisa has so much energy that she will probably materialize for us. And me and Beth are like, oh, boy, it better be in the daylight outside.
Right? Oh, my God. The other night, I was having such a hard time falling asleep for some reason, and it reminded me of that night at Lizzie's, the first night. I was afraid to open my eyes because I was afraid Lisa would be standing there laughing at me or something. Because my cats sleep in the bed with me, and they were being weird. And I was like, oh, there's something going on. Cats know, and dogs, animals know, right? And they were acting like a bunch of little jerks or something. And there was some sort of weird energy going on, and that's why I was afraid to open my eyes. I'm like, I'm just going to just keep my eyes shut and try to go to sleep. I don't want to see any apparitions in my room.
Right. No kidding. I know. It's so funny. I mean, I don't mind, like, me and my mother used to joke. She's like, I go, Mom, don't scare. She goes, I'll come and visit you. And I said, Mom, don't scare me when you die,
Right.
It's like, she would say, I'll call you first. I'll call you before I show up, right? So anyways, I've been waiting for that phone call for 10 years now.
Oh, man. Anyway. I wouldn't put it past Lisa to just show up and go, boo. You know what I mean?
Right. I know. Me neither. Oh, she's going to have a good time. Believe me. She's going to have a good time.
Yeah.
But, it's so funny. So I want to remind those on the call who are waiting for a reading that I am giving away a free purple plate, and you just have to answer a question, but you have to be in chat in order to win a free purple plate. Now, purple energy plates are amazing. Obviously, I'm not just saying that because I sell them, but they're amazing. But I would love to share these plates with others because you will find them amazing too, believe me. And you've got nothing to lose by getting a free one. So if you want to win a free purple plate, please get into chat. I'm going to ask a question. And if you answer correctly, then I will send you a free purple energy plate. And if you want to check out what they are first, you can look at purpleplates.com. So that's purpleplates with an S on the end, .com. And you can read all about them. In fact, Dan in chat now. Dan, you know you have one, and you know it's amazing. But anyway, whatever. He's giving me a hard time in chat. But anyways, so check that out, guys. And also, so Beth, when we give people readings, and we're going to start in just a minute, how would you like to handle that? Would you like to, I know you said you don't like a question, you just like to give what you get. Is that how you want to do it tonight?
I mean, questions are fine. I could try to figure it out. I'm not really, you know, I'm kind of new at this, honestly. Everybody, I think, knows that already. But so, if I don't have any idea of an answer, I'll just say I don't have an idea. But I am going to try to follow your example, though, and because I've been reading up on bibliomancy, and it's something that fascinates me. And I don't have a paper copy of Death Watch, but I do have, because it's on my Kindle, I have a paper copy of the Stoker Award-winning, the Gentling Box, that I would like to use to help us along with that. So we'll see what happens, right?
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, yeah, that book, you guys, that book is so phenomenal. If you want to get it, you can buy it, I think, on Amazon. It's called the Gentling Box, G-E-N-T-L-I-N-G Box, by Lisa Minetti. And it's a phenomenal, I mean, it should be made into a movie. It's a phenomenal book.
It will be made into a movie, dag nabbit. We're
yes,
going to see to that.
Well, yeah, we are going to see to that for sure. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll start to give readings. And the first caller we're going to pick up is area code 757. So we're going to play a quick song, and then we will be back. And like I said, if you want to win a free purple energy plate, get into chat, you guys, and you can answer the question and probably win a plate. Listen, I'm all about giving away these plates, okay? So, because they sell themselves, believe me, they're so wonderful. I'm not just saying.
I can attest to the fact that they are wonderful because I have a couple of the smaller ones that I use for my knee pain. And they, I mean, really, really help because sometimes there's nothing else that's going to help that. I've got some arthritis in my knees, and I'm just, you know, old also, so there's that. But sometimes nothing that I can take, you know, no medicine works. It's those purple plates that help, honestly.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, they're just amazing. I mean, but anyways, whatever. You'll experience it yourself if you win one. So anyway, okay, so we're going to play a quick song, and then we will be back. I like this song. It's Leonard Cohen, The Stranger Song. And so we'll be back in just a few, so grab your drinks or whatever you want to grab and call in, get a free reading from us, and we will talk to you soon, and we'll be right back. Here it is.
It's true that all the men you knew were dealers who said they were through with dealing every time you gave them shelter. I know that kind of man. It's hard to hold the hand of anyone who's reaching for the sky just to surrender.
was reaching for the sky just to surrender. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter. Like any dealer, he was watching for the card that is so high and wild, he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. And then leaning on your windowsill, he'll say one day you caused his will to weaken with your love and warmth and shelter. And then taking from his wallet an old schedule of trains, he'll say, I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger. But now another stranger seems to want you to ignore his dreams as though they were the burden of some other. Oh, you've seen that man before, his golden arm dispatching cards, but now it's rusted from the elbow to the finger. And he wants to trade the game he plays for shelter. Yes, he wants to trade the game he knows for shelter. Oh, you hate to watch another tired man lay down his hand like he was giving up the holy game of poker. And while he talks his dreams to sleep, you notice there's a highway that is curling up like smoke above his shoulder. It's curling just like smoke above his shoulder. You tell him to come in, sit down, but something makes you turn around. The door is open, you can't close your shelter. You try the handle of the road, it opens. Do not be afraid, it's you, my love, you who are the stranger. It is you, my love, you who are the stranger. Well, I've been waiting, I was sure we'd meet between the trains we're waiting for. I think it's time to board another. Please understand, I never had a secret chart to get me to the heart of this or any other matter. Well, he talks like this, you don't know what he's after. When he speaks like this, you don't know what he's after. Let's meet tomorrow if you choose upon the shore beneath the bridge that they are building on some endless river. Then he leaves the platform for the sleeping car that's warm. You realize he's only advertising one more shelter. And it comes to you, he never was a stranger. And you say, okay, the bridge or someplace later. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter. Like any dealer, he was watching for the card that is so high and wild, he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. And leaning on your windowsill, he'll say one day you caused his will to weaken with your love and warmth and shelter. And then taking from his wallet an old schedule of trains, he'll say, I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger.
And, of course, that was Leonard Cohen, as I said, and he is just wonderful. What a wonderful lyricist and poet, just a great artist all around. Okay, so I am back with Elizabeth Blue, and we are going to begin giving readings. I'm looking through this book, you guys. But anyway, so I'll blindly pick a section to read to you. And 757-597, hello.
Hello, good evening. Good evening to both of you.
You too.
Hi.
It's nice to meet y'all, and I live in Virginia myself.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and my name is.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just gonna say my name is Vernell, and it's started with a V, like in Virginia.
Oh, Vernell. Hi, Vernell.
Hello.
Okay. Okay. So, do you have a question?
It involves a next door neighbor. To me, he's been acting pretty strange for a while. I'm going to try to sum it up because it seems like there's a lot that's been going on with him that's quite weird. My boyfriend, he passed last year on St. Patrick's Day, and he used to help take him to the store, the next door neighbor. Me and my boyfriend, we know that he drinks. But lately, for months, actually, he's been, driving back and forth a lot and kept leaving as soon as he got back home. And then all of a sudden, he bring these young guys, these three young white males to his place, and they've been staying at his apartment. And they've been coming in and out, and, at all hours of the night. And sometimes they would, come and go during the daytime, but not as much as they do at night. And I picked up some strange odor that I really couldn't describe, and it's kind of like, I think, maybe a chemically smell. It might be illegal drugs they might be making in that apartment. And the next door neighbor, for some weird reason, I haven't been seeing his car outside, and then all of a sudden I'm not seeing him, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And so this has been going on for over a week so far, and yesterday I went to the rent office to pay my rent, and also I have a cat. And, my cat, I'm forgetting to mention, I could tell that the smell really irritated my nose. It was irritating hers. And, like, her I think it was her left eye was, seemed like it was starting to get watery. And I went to the rent office yesterday to pay my rent. And while I was there, I caught myself being sly, like dropping a piece of paper on the floor, hopefully that somebody will pick up and the people that run the place will find it and, start taking some action and investigating and, see what's going on over there. So am I right on my suspicions, and, is this going to come to an end real soon?
Well, I'll go before Beth. So I think they are probably making meth there because it has a smell to it. I mean, I have no idea. Vernell, I don't know, but I think it is going to come to an end soon. I think that I feel like something's going to happen where they're, I won't be surprised if you don't see a bunch of cops there in the next couple of weeks at the house. I think they're being flagrant about what they're doing. They're not being careful about it, and somebody is going to say something. So I feel like it's probably going to get a little worse before it gets better. But I think that within a month, it's probably going to be dissolved. I mean, they got to move out. They have to leave. Just keep imagining them leaving. Just imagine them being pushed out. Pushed out. Just imagine them being pushed out. You know, somebody's going to say something. I mean, if you can sit there and smell it just by walking outside your house, that's really bad. You know what I mean?
No. Well, I mean, actually, it's somehow coming into my apartment some other kind of way. I'm not really sure how, but, you know, I'm picking up the odor, and it's like it gradually starts, and then it gets stronger, and my nose feels like it's on fire, and I'm worrying about my cat because she hasn't been well since last year, and I don't want her to be getting even more sicker behind smelling that garbage, and, you know, and my health isn't exactly perfect either, so I'm really concerned, and this is supposed to be public housing for the disabled and the elderly, and nobody's really supposed to be staying in our apartments but us, you know, just the people renting the apartment.
Right.
And
right.
I'm sorry,
Vernell. Hold on. Beth, are you picking up anything on this situation?
What I'm in like total agreement with you. They're definitely involved in drugs, and yeah, meth certainly came to my mind. I feel like the three guys are taking advantage of him, and it's something that's going to come to a head pretty quickly because, you know, it's just obvious, and they're being, like Corrine said, very careless, thank goodness, because they don't care at this point. They're, you know, kind of out of their minds, and I know we mentioned looking up passages in books, doing some bibliomancy, and here's what I looked at while y'all were talking. This is the sentence, a couple of sentences that I pulled out of this, out of Lisa's book. He wasn't mad, merely different. Mad, that was my word, not the truth. And so that kind of says to me that your neighbor didn't necessarily originally intend for any of this to happen, but he's kind of, you know, maybe a little out of his mind. Like you said, if he drinks, maybe he's, you know, just not really thinking. Clearly he needs help is what I think. And certainly somebody will hopefully step in pretty quickly.
Right. And the line in my book, Vernell, that I picked out for you is, later there was a dreadful quiet. Their venom spent. So that... to me says it's going to end, like there's going to be silence and their whatever they're doing is going to come to an end, you know? Their venom spent. Yeah. So, So, I mean, but, you know, also, Vernell, have you thought about telling the landlord there?
Well, like I said, yesterday I was at the rent office, and I left a note there without my name, and I kind of, like, dropped it on the floor so that somebody could find it in the office, and hoping that somebody's going to pick it up, and then, the people that run the place find it, and then they investigate themselves and, you know, see what's going on.
All right, that was a good idea. That was a good idea. I didn't catch that at the first when you said that, but that was a good idea. Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a few more dimes being dropped on that to push somebody, but I think that they're just being so open about it that they're definitely, I don't know, something's going to happen. I want to know, will you call us back when, you know, like the next time we have a show and let us know what's happening with it?
I sure will. Are y'all sure it's going to be like another whole month? Because I'm really concerned about my cat. And I mean, it's one thing that I'm smelling it, and I'm really concerned about her smelling that stuff. And
I agree.
Yeah, I could tell.
I agree. Yeah.
She's very irritated,
also,
I could tell. I'm sorry.
Right. Vernell, you could also directly call the police department and just say, I want to be anonymous with this, you know?
I was going to say, my best friend, she lives in Richmond, and she had a situation across the street from her house where she was pretty sure the people in that house were either, if not making meth, they were selling it, and she ended up in direct communication with the chief of police, because she just was like, I'm not going, I'm going to the top, you know, that's her. But that situation got resolved pretty quickly. So I do highly recommend contacting the police. And if you don't want, and I understand that, you don't want them to know, you know, your name or anything, but just give them an anonymous tip and they'll look into it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's to be your next move, Vernell, you know?
Do you know if the neighbor? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that usually when you know if a tenant is involved in illegal drug activity, even if that they were saying according to the rules, even if they're not taking any drugs themselves and their company is, that there's automatic termination of their lease. So will my neighbor also lose his apartment?
Unfortunately, it sounds like he probably would.
He will. He will. Yeah, he will.
Okay.
So that's your next move, Vernell, is to call the police, tell them you want to be anonymous for obvious reasons, and I think it's going to be taken care of, but I'm glad you're proactive about this because you have to be, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, I lived around other people, you know, that was dealing drugs related and unrelated and directly and not directly. And I just don't want to go through this again and you know, I just want this to end as soon as possible. I just really can't stand to be going through this again.
No, and that's why tomorrow, right, that's why tomorrow you're going to make this move and call the police department.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, was that your cat?
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen, so her name is Lucy.
Aww. Got to look out for yourself and for Lucy.
Yeah, I was wondering also, speaking of Lucy, is there some kind of protection that could be put over her to keep her from being affected by the odor?
Yeah, just put a white light around her. I call it the white Christ light. So just imagine the brightest white light you can ever imagine surrounding Lucy and yourself, by the way. So put this around, like every day when you wake up, put this light around Lucy and around yourself, and it will stay there. It will stay there as long as you need it to be there. But just to reinforce it, do it every day when you wake up. Just say, I'm putting the white light of Christ around me to protect me or to protect Lucy. And, you know, that's a very good thing to do every day anyways, you know?
Also, my sons too, hopefully, who aren't with me. Let's see. I'm concerned about my sons these days too. let's see. So he's gonna lose his apartment, and I'm hoping that a better tenant is gonna move in there. And do you know if my boyfriend is seeing all this craziness going on, you know, with these drugs?
Yeah, he is. He is. I feel like he's definitely there. His energy is still there, Vernell. And I feel like he is protecting you. He's protecting you, and he's watching what's going on. But I feel like he would have done something about this by now. He would have already called the cops. So I just want you to get up and do that tomorrow. You know.
Okay.
Do
you know if they're gonna do a stakeout of what they're doing and then make a raid or?
I'm not sure. I know that when you call, they're gonna do something. I'm not sure how they're gonna approach it, but I mean, you definitely have to make the next move. You know.
And truth be told, another psychic had already told me that. And I could confirm it. There was some police out there about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, directly across the street, and they said that, you know, the police were staking out the place, and then the neighbor found out, and then he tried to, you know, play these police evading games, so they won't come back, and they haven't been back for, like I said, about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and so they were. I think they were already suspicious about, you know, what's going on, and trying not to get caught. So
right. Yeah, I mean, I really think it's all up to you and what you do next. So it's in your control right now, as far as I'm concerned. You make that call. And if you got to call again, but I think you're just going to have to make one call. Tell them everything. Mm-hmm. Tell them you want to be anonymous and something has to be done, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, let us know what happens, Vernell. And thank you for calling and telling us what's going on.
Well, I sure would thank you all for taking my call and pointing me in the right direction.
Sure, anytime. Let us know what happens.
I sure will.
Okay. Have a good rest of the night, Vernell.
Okay, yeah, y'all too.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's sweet, you know. Okay, so the next caller we have is area code 509. Hello, 509.
Hello, how are you guys?
All right, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. My name is Mindy, and I'm from Washington.
How you doing, Mindy?
Washington State?
Well. Washington State, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
We have a gentleman in the chat now from Washington State as well.
Oh, you do? I didn't know how to get onto your chat. Just...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think if you scroll down, like, from the show description and picture, you can see the chat. But anyways, that's okay.
Oh.
You know?
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if you guys, like, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I you know what? The Skype is, like, delay, so I apologize. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, Skype is delayed? I was just wondering if you guys could pick up anything going on in my life or whatever that... Just a general reading.
Yeah, okay. So, Mindy, are you heartbroken about something?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
confused and heartbroken, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the authenticity is there, but yeah.
Right, okay. So I'm just going to tell you what I'm getting from the book, the bibliomancy part. And
okay.
It says, do you know why you're here? The doctor had a God, Lisa, leave it to Lisa to put words in her. The doctor had a VNS beard. My head was shaved like a convict. I lay on the railed bed, my wrists and legs restrained with thick leather straps. His face was close to mine. I smelled his lunch, cheese, boiled beef, and red wine. Okay. So it says to me, Mindy, that you feel like you're constrained. You feel like you don't have any way to get out of this situation, so to speak. Like you feel powerless. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Oh. Okay, so, you know, you always have, we all, even though at times we feel powerless and not able to break out and do what we want to do, we always do have that power, in fact, you know. So let's see what Beth says, and then I'm going to ruminate on what else I want to say to you. Beth, what do you have to say?
All right, so first of all, the bibliomancy passage that I got was, I heard the knob rattle, and it jolted me out of the visionary plans I'd been hatching. So that, I think, goes along with what Corrine got. It sounds like there's disappointment involved. There's, like plans that you wanted to happen, you hoped for, that it just fell through. Not necessarily fell through, but just didn't pan out at all. And so, yeah, I just feel like there's like this big sense of disappointment going on.
Mm-hmm. Just confusion in it. I mean, like disappointment, but also, because if it wasn't authentic, then it's more, what is he doing? What was he doing? Why?
Right.
Why
yeah.
is he targeting me? Yeah.
It sounds like you had a completely different idea of what was going on than this person.
Right. So,
planned.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like it was so nonchalant that if it was a plan, it was a master plan he was just so nonchalant through the whole thing and wasn't very inquisitive. But it was like I don't understand why, what the point was.
Right.
Well, so I feel that this gentleman, first of all, I feel like he was very attracted to you. And I also feel like when you say like you're confused and he was nonchalant, I mean, he's confused. He's like all over the map. Was he like really like you couldn't pin him? Like, I don't know. I'm seeing a guy that's very all over the place. Is this accurate?
I don't know that he was all over the place, more so that he was, he kind of just politely broke down my walls and stuff, and, like, he didn't need to do all that, and so, but he did, and I thought we had a connection, and we were supposed to go to dinner the next night, and he never showed up and didn't even call to say goodbye, and I just met him this night, and then he takes off, and I have no way of contacting him again. I don't even remember his name, but for the last 3.5 weeks, I've just thought about him every single day, and just that whole emptiness in my heart and the cold sweats of like, am I ever going to see him again? Because I really liked him, and I don't understand why. I don't understand what our connection was. It's not anything I've ever had with anybody in my life, and I'm really having a hard time processing it. Why would I mean, I just met the guy one night. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? But why am I so drawn to him? I don't get it.
I think he might show back up again at some point. I think he's just a mess himself, maybe, and afraid. So maybe he felt a similar connection and it freaked him out. But he may, you know, come around. Maybe he may think about it for a while and then be like, well, okay, here, I can be brave. And maybe he'll come back around. I feel like he's going to show back up in your life, though, at some point.
Yeah, and I don't even remember his name. And I don't know if he's related to the guy that just came down from Seattle. He said that he's working for his brother right now, which the truck would indicate that he works for the guy that came down with his backhoe and just tore mine and my neighbor's trailers down with a backhoe with all of our stuff in it and has no, you know, I've been in straight battle with that brother. If it is his brother, I've been in straight battle with him for the last 5 years over what he's done at that park and how he's treated those tenants and people dying there. And in fact, the old man that I just took care of died over there, and he just came down and tore both of our trailers down. So if he's the brother to that guy, which I did some research to find, like, the company, and it's the only company I can come up with those letters. And so if that's indeed his brother, that just makes things, you know, much more volatile and scary. Which makes me question more, like, why, what, what was, how did that happen? I just don't understand.
That's bizarre.
It is.
Yeah,
bizarre thing in the world. And then to make the matters even worse is that I had, when I started doing all this background check and trying to find out who he was, I happened to notice that my uncle is married to the woman with the same last name as the brother who just ripped down the trailers. My uncle just married this woman who used to carry his last name, so I don't know how she's related to all this. And it's really, it's mind-boggling beyond comprehension, and it's got me completely dilapidated and stumped. And I'm just like, what the triple is going on?
Well, first of all, so Mindy, do you believe that things happen for a reason?
Well, yeah, I do. And it's like, that's some choreographed, I mean, that's some pretty master, that took a lot of, you know, I mean, if that's really going on, then that was some fine detailed planning on behalf of whoever the powers that be or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Too much
and
to process.
I think one of the reasons he showed up in your life was to show you that you could open up to somebody, that you could trust somebody, even though now you're saying
and
you
I
can't
did.
Trust him.
I would totally trust him again. Right. Even though he's his brother, I would still talk to that guy without even care. I mean, like, that guy just took my soul apart. I mean, like, forever. I don't even understand why.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so we have a numerologist in the chat room, Carol Patton. She's phenomenal. She says this is a 5 year to begin with, so changes happen quickly, and Mercury is in retrograde besides that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 5 year, so changes happen quickly. So, but I think that Beth is right in the way that this guy is going to show back up. But I know, it's like we try to dissect what happened, right? And we can't make heads or tails about the behavior and the outcome. But we have to trust it somehow, that it was meant to be.
Right.
And, you know.
And so I think he did show back up. I think that he did try to show back up under an alias or under somebody else that he was trying to impersonate, because I saw the face and he sent me, I mean, it was his face. There's no deny. I know the guy's face. Like I just know it. And so now he's not doing construction work. Now he's in some scrubs in a hospital setting. And I'm just, and he's asking me, he's just kind of saying that he just accidentally added me or whatever, but he didn't accidentally. He and so I'm like, I know who you are. Like, and why did you, I mean, like, did you do this on purpose? And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that that was him. And it was like, and then he just ghosted again. Bye-bye.
Right. Yeah, and even Carol in the chat, the numerologist, saying he's all over the place. Like I said, he's all over the place. He's like, you know, but I do think he's very attracted to you, Mindy. I got that feeling before we started talking. So, I mean, there's something there, and that's why you're feeling this pull. Now, what happens from here? It's up, really up to him, I guess, to respond. But, you know what
right.
I mean? Who the hell knows? I mean, I feel, what's his name?
That's it. I don't even remember his name. It's either, I have no idea what, when he told me, I blocked it. I don't know why, but I just, it's not there.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like David
wow.
or Brian wow. or Jimmy or some, I mean, I don't even know. I've had to be guided to these names and I still don't know. Frank or I have no idea.
It could be anything because he's all over the place.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs> Maybe he's got 25 names. I don't know. He's come under a Jesse and I have no idea. Too much for me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So Carol is saying that you're looking for stability and that you're lonely, Mindy.
No, I'm not really lonely. Stability more so, but I'm not really lonely. I've had a crush on Brad Pitt my whole life, and if he came into my life right now, I'd have no problem telling him to kick rocks. I've got other things to do, but this guy's got me completely dilapidated. I'm not joking when I say that, and I don't understand it myself. I just feel I can't explain it. It's weird. Never felt like that before. I don't even know how to put it into words because it sounds so ridiculous. It's like you just met him one night, Mindy. Just go on with your life. And it was just that. And it's like, no, it's not just, there's way a lot deeper stuff going on there.
Right.
I wonder if
you've
met each other before, like in a past life.
That's what I was thinking too.
Probably.
About. Exactly.
It's like I met Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm married to Jesus, and it's like Jesus just walked into my life, and he just stormed right out. And I'm like, wait, where are you going? Like, you're my husband. Where are you going? Like, you know what I mean? That's
you know,
what
that
I feel
could
like.
Actually.
And, like, and I can't even explain. That is exactly how I feel.
It could explain some of his all over the placeness too. You know, if he feels the same way, like he's like, why do I feel so connected to this lady, you know, and
right.
he's upset by it because he can't explain it to himself. And, you
right.
know, if you have been in each other's lives before, then you're very possibly picking up, you know, those kind of vibes. And maybe you're really like into it. And he's just like, oh, what the hell, you know, and it freaks
right.
him out way more than it freaks you out. You know,
but he's the one that ran off. I'm willing to entertain the ideas and stuff, you know, and he just like, yeah, bye bye. It's like, wait,
he'll need some coaching.
I don't know. It's got me totally screwed up and not productive doing anything other than, you know, trying to fit the pieces in my
right.
head and contortionate them and stretch them out and make them bigger than what they are and then put them back together. And then, you know, it's like I can't do anything. I'm doing all of this for what? And he's not even here. What are you doing?
Right. I know.
You've got
but
stuff
Mindy,
to do.
I know, but that matters. That matters. Everything that you're doing right now, even though you're confused and everything, everything you're doing right now matters. Like, you would take care of yourself. You would do all the productive things that you can do, no matter if he's going to be in your life or not. So what I'm saying is, if, you know that saying, if you build it, they will come? It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if we make ourselves happy and we're productive, you will. He's going to come back. You know what I mean? But you got to be,
okay.
It's so hard.
I've
got to
get
believe
my shit
me,
together is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you have your shit together. I don't think it's that. I think it's just that you have to believe more. You have to have more faith in what's going to happen. And, I mean, even if it's not this guy, there's going to be somebody else. I just feel like you're very pretty. Are you very pretty?
No, I don't feel very pretty. I mean, I don't know. I'm not ugly, I don't think. I don't feel like I'm, like, very pretty, though. No.
Okay. Well, I mean, you probably
I mean, I used to be,
that.
But it's not. I'm not like that anymore. I don't have that, you know, little. I've blown up to a state of a whale and just shy of a Holstein cow.
No, you know, I hear you.
I've done it on purpose.
I think pretty is subjective.
I've done it on purpose,
you know,
because I don't want any men, and I feel like that if I got fat, that they would leave me alone. But it's not. So. It's more of trying to, I'm just unhealthy right now, but I can get back to where I need to be. I had a different plan for myself. And I'm not healthy. Well, I'm not feeling healthy. So I know I need to start, you know, losing the weight again, but I go up and down. I mean, I control my weight. I don't know. It's that. And so I try to, it's because I'm so weak in the heart sometimes, you know? So I figure, well, okay, if I just put these walls around and, you know, build all this stuff up, then I'm not going to, you know, put myself in situations where I can get hurt or because it dilapidates. I've been in bed for 3 weeks almost thinking about this guy. And I'm like, Mindy, you have so many things to get out of bed and go do something. Like, you can't sit here and think this is unproductive and it's totally unhealthy.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
I mean, yeah. I feel like you have a sparkle in your eyes. I don't know why, but I don't know. Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and quiz you about what you look like. But
you're like, I'm dreaming of you, and you seem really pretty. You must have yourself wrong because I see you as different. No, I'm not ugly. I don't think. I don't think that I'm ugly. But I'm not. I'm not hard on the eyes. I guess. I don't know.
No,
I can be ugly,
you're
though.
Not.
I mean, there's things I can be ugly about. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of like everybody. I mean, I don't know.
Right. No, but so basically what I'm trying to say is you are beautiful, okay? It doesn't matter how much you weigh or whatever, anything else you just mentioned. But, I mean, that doesn't matter. You are beautiful. You have to own that in your heart, okay, and understand that, yes, the right people for me will come into my life. They will come back if they are meant to come back. Otherwise, I'm taking care of myself. I'm, you know,
right.
You've been taking care of yourself for a long time. Give yourself credit, man, you know? I mean, there's just, like, there's nothing you can't do. It's like when I see you, I see this, like, I'm looking at you, and I'm looking down the road, and it's like this powerful wind, it like pushes ahead in front of you to clear things in your path. I mean, even though you've had struggles, you've gotten through a lot of shit. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you. That I feel like that's why I'm married to Jesus, because he would never be with somebody that has not experienced every single emotion like he has. And I feel like he puts me through all of this crap. I go through more in probably 3 days than people have gone through in a year. You know, it's like, and I feel like he does that to me because I'm married to him. I feel like that's my husband. I don't know. I really do. I feel like I am married to him.
Right. Well, I mean, and like when you said he went away, he never goes away. He's with you. You know what I mean? Jesus I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's like it's a matter of you centering yourself and understanding that you are in the right place at the right time. Things are going to happen in your life that you have no control over, and that's absolutely fine. But you have control over a whole lot, and that you will push ahead. I'm telling you, I just have a very good feeling about this. And I mean, the guy, whether you think he's confused or not, he is confused. And, you know, but anyway, let him wander. He can find you when he wants to find you, and that's it. But you're going to have no problem, no freaking problem. I don't see. You know what I mean? There's nothing. Nothing is going to stop you from getting the life you want except yourself. Okay? Understand
that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's settling to know. So I need to get busy.
So Beth, what do you do you have anything else to say?
I don't really have anything I can add to that, because that's exactly what I would have said too. You would be the only thing holding you back. And, mm-hmm. You know, if you're saying that you're, you know, lying in bed thinking about this dude, that's probably not healthy. Action is what you need to do, I think. Definitely start taking some action. Not necessarily towards finding him. What I mean is towards, just like
what I need to do.
Being what you want to be.
Exactly. Yeah, because I've got enough going on right now for 150 people. If I can be cloned at least 20 times, I think that I'll be able to. So yeah, me sitting in bed is it is the worst thing I could do right now.
Oh, I agree.
I didn't plan for this to come along and do this. I don't understand why I'm doing that. Like, I can't. I'm in control of myself usually, and this guy has knocked me off my feet onto my rear, and I feel like I've got birds flying around my head.
Yeah. So you need to take the situation under your own control.
Huh?
Like, consciously control the situation. And
right.
You can control how you feel about it, what you do about it, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I need to do that. That's okay.
Yeah. And you know, like you mentioned, you know, that this is not productive, but you have a million things to do. I
mm-hmm.
completely understand that overwhelming feeling. It's one step at a time. That's the best way to break it down is, you know, take one piece and look at it and tackle it, rather than, you know, when you look at the whole picture, you're like, oh, wow, this is way too much. Him knocking you off your feet is not helpful.
What was that?
Him knocking you off your feet is not helpful. So you have to, like, put him into perspective.
And he might have ran off because I have so much going on. Like, I mean, my future is volatile. As I sit right now, like, I've got 9 warrants right now. I've never been in trouble in my life. And, I can understand why he would just run for – I'm like, here, go to the hills. You know, I mean, I can understand that, but at the same time, it's like a friend, nothing, not even a friendship. Like, I mean, I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of that, especially, you need to just definitely take them one at a time, deal with them, get them out of the way.
Yeah, and I do. I really do. But, yeah, so I need to.
But you can do it. You can certainly do it. You're definitely strong enough to do it.
Yeah,
about strong enough, but I'm sure going to give it my best. I'm going to give it all. But
you should, and you will, Mindy. Mindy, you're very strong. Jeez, I mean, I hate that. I don't hate anything, but I mean, I don't like that you don't own that, because you should. You know what I mean? You're very strong. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want you to take
either
that into
heart.
Either
that or I'm very, very hard-headed. I don't know if it's hard-headed or strong, but, I mean, I've lost a lot of friends to lesser things, and I don't know if it's just because I've got so much vanity or what it is, but, I mean, there's a lot of people trying to, you know, make me just go and, you know, end my life, and so I'm just not. I refuse.
And that's fine.
But
that's fine. Who stays in your life is meant to be in your life. So, you know, don't worry about those that have gone on, you know.
So me and my cat, okay, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Me and my cat. No. And you guys when I call, you know. Anyway, yeah, thank you for being there.
Sure. Let us know what happens, Mindy. Let us know what happens.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
I will. Thank you guys so much. God bless you guys. Thank you so much, too.
Same to you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. She's so strong. And she's very pretty. I feel like she's got, like, green or blue eyes that, like, like there's a sparkle in them. I can't explain it. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. Yeah. I feel like she's, like, super strong, and she's... But she lacks confidence, like you were saying that, she, you know, she's really pretty. And she's like, I'm whatever, you know. So I feel like a total lack of confidence going on there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so next caller we have is area code 231. I don't know who this is. 231?
Hi, my name is Tia, and I'm calling from Michigan. And thanks for taking my call. I don't really have a question. Could I possibly just get maybe a general reading?
Yeah, what was your first name?
Tia, T-I-A.
Oh, Gia. Hi, Gia. Okay.
Tia.
Yeah.
It, so, Tia with a T.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
It is. Okay, so I'm just going to read to you from the bibliomancy from the book, as I said I was going to do. You said when he came, you could pretend it was me. You just now decided to leave. I asked you to run away before, and that's what gave you the idea. The rest about the tarts is a lie. The rest about the tarts is a lie. Okay. Well, anyways, does that have anything to do with you, Gio?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one for a bit. I don't know. It could.
Okay. You just now decided to leave. I asked you to run away before. Okay. Okay. So, anyways, okay. So, you don't have a question. So, Beth, what are you getting? Because I know you're good at just getting stuff out of, you know, not having a question out.
Well, all right. So, first of all, it started out with the line that I picked up in this book. The very first thing that I went with was, this is kind of funny. Wolves, I babbled. At the same time, I heard a low hissing. I saw the three crumpled bodies, the great furred paws splayed out, their bloody heads slack-jawed in death, waver for an instant, then disappear. I am really trying to figure out what that kind of means. I might have to think about it a little bit, but I have to say that I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So I shut the book and I opened it again, and it came right back to the same page on the same passage. So wolves,
wow.
I don't know what that really means or, you know, what might be going on in your life, but it sounds like there's potentially some kind of struggle going on, maybe, like a power struggle. I don't know. Are you having like any kind of weird power struggle things at work or, you know, with any relationships?
No, not really. Not I'm in a relationship. It's not a very good relationship at this point, but there's not a power struggle going on. I do work part-time and I have been looking for, better employment. So I don't know if that falls in there anywhere.
I don't know. It's I'm thinking with your relationship, it's possible that it's not necessarily a power struggle type thing. But if you know, if it's not going well, maybe do you feel like he's unfaithful or abusive? I hope not.
Certainly not unfaithful at all.
Okay.
For sure. And, you know, the power struggle, you're probably right. I think that does kind of come from him.
Okay.
Right? The more I think about it, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I don't know where the wolves come through, like, really strongly for me for some reason. I don't know why. And, like, I don't know. Wolves are territorial. Wolves, you know, they're you know, maybe is it kind of a dominance thing? Because, you know, there's like the alpha wolf, alpha dog, whatever. And then, you know, I don't know what they would, what they call it, but is it possibly a situation where, you know, you feel like you're being oppressed, maybe?
Yeah, very, unappreciated, very almost worthless.
Like maybe he's being the alpha and you don't appreciate that at all because you mean a lot. You have a lot to contribute to this relationship, and he's not accepting it.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yikes.
Or
yeah.
Not appreciating things that I do, and doesn't even realize half of the things that I do for him.
Not paying attention at all. Yeah.
I'm just totally overlooked. It's like I don't even have a voice or an opinion or anything that matters, you know.
Is that a boyfriend or your husband?
Boyfriend, yeah.
And how long have you been together?
About 3 years.
So that's a while. Was it always like that?
No, he had stage 4 throat cancer, and so about a year and a half of that was going through that. And then
wow.
I'm also a stage 4 cancer survivor, too, so it's, you know, we do have some commonality, but, you know, I know this isn't going to be a long-term thing, I don't think.
Well, I mean, so I'm wondering, Gia, why you're, I'm not saying you're wasting your time, but I'm just wondering why you're not doing something to live the life you really want to live right now.
Basically, it's because I'm kind of stuck. It's when I got sick, ended up losing everything, and then I just started getting back to work, and I'm kind of like in a financial. My financials are pretty much non-existent, which, you know, normally doesn't matter to me. I just want enough money to live on. I'm not one of those materialistic people or anything like that, but I just have a long way to go to rebuild, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. So you feel like you need his support?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
I wish that there was more emotional support, but there's none. And that's where I'm having a really hard time.
Right. Gia, he's older than you, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's like... I see him as like this typical old school male that feels like you got to have my dinner on the table when I get home and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
No, basically because he is the cook in the house. but in other areas, yeah, he's kind of a little chauvinistic, and I'm very strong-willed, and I'm very, very independent. Well, I was before I got sick, and I'm just trying to get back to that, get back to myself somehow. It's like I shouldn't say get back to myself. I'm trying to figure out who I am now,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I'm just a mess. I'm a mess.
Right. I wish that you could, you know, and I don't know if this is possible, but I wish that you could live with a you know, somebody in your family or a roommate, a girlfriend or something, or, you know, I mean, is there any possibility of that happening?
No, I was living with a family member and I got abused, tremendously abused. So as far as family goes, it's non-existent. I don't have any.
Right. Okay.
I'm just lost, I guess, so to speak. I'm just lost. I don't know what to do next. I don't know which way to turn. You know, I don't know what to try and fix first. I just don't know. And it's like I'm just getting tired, you know? I'm just so tired is what it is, too. Like, everything is just exhausted me.
Yeah, I bet. So can I ask about your mom for a second?
Sure.
Has she passed?
No.
No.
My father.
Does she like cherish? Okay, your father has. Does your mom like cherries? I know this sounds like a weird question, but what's with cherries?
Terry?
Cherries.
I
like the fruit cherries.
I have no idea, no clue.
Okay.
I don't have a relationship with her at all, so that was where I was staying when I was being abused by her and my brother, so yeah.
Oh,
that relationship.
Oh God.
There's this nonsense.
All right. Jeez, I am so sorry. Oh my God. That stinks. Because you feel like, Gia, I imagine you feel like you're floating at sea and you have nowhere to land, nowhere to dock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just out there flapping in the wind is what it feels like, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I just want to get get my feet firmly planted somehow, and I just can't, since the cancer, it's just been really hard for me, and you know, I've always been independent and on my own, but it's difficult right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Okay, so the first thing that I would say to you that I would love for you to do, Gia, is every day when you get up, I want you to, you do pray, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And I want you to imagine that brilliant white light around yourself. Okay, as I said earlier, the white light of Christ around yourself, and to understand that will be around you. You are protected, okay? You really are protected. You have that white light around yourself, excuse me, and that, you know, moving forward is going to be a little difficult because it's like I feel like these challenges are presented to you because you're extra special. You know what I mean? Like, these things don't happen to, like, you know, everyone. But when they happen to you, like they're happening to you right now, you're marked for that. You're, for some reason, you're meant to go through these challenges. But, I mean, it's not for nothing. Everything that is happening right now, it has a meaning and a purpose, and you will see that in the years to come. But right now, you are protected. You are surrounded by love, okay? And I need you to put that light around yourself every day and understand that you are moving forward even when it feels like you're not moving forward. We're always moving forward, even if it feels like we're not. So, I feel like you're carrying a lot of energy and emotion from other people. It's like
yeah.
You take on the boyfriend stuff. It goes into you and it affects you, his stuff, and everything that happens from your brother and your mother. All that stuff, we got to get rid of it. And I'll tell you the quickest way to get rid of it, which is what I do every day. I want you to imagine a brilliant white tornado above your head, okay? It's I call it the etheric tornado. So that tornado's above your head, and it comes down through the top of your head. It goes around and around through your whole body, every single inch of your body. It goes, and while it goes through you, this will take about a minute. It goes through you. It removes everything that doesn't belong to you, everything negative, everything that has been attached to you that you no longer need, okay? This goes down through your whole body. It goes all the way down to your feet, and then it goes down into the center of the earth, and it has cleared you of all the crap that has been attached to you and that you're hanging on to. So that's like, that'll take you about a minute to do, to imagine that brilliant white light tornadoing through you, removing everything down to the center of the earth where away from you, completely away from you. So
okay.
I would love for you to do that every day. I do it every night before I go to bed because, well, just because. I mean, it's a good idea. But, I mean, but I think that, like I said, you're the designated person for this stuff to happen to because you're special. You're special. And I can't explain it exactly what, like, what I'm feeling right now about you, but I feel like you are very special. And this stuff happens to you and happened to you for a really good purpose. And I also want you to think, Gia, about making a journal, writing down everything. Do you do that?
I do. I started when I got sick, and I think I'm on my seventh notebook right now. Yeah, I absolutely do.
All right.
It's
and
the only
I also
way
that, yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's the only way that I can get anything out because I don't have anyone to talk to, you know, so I have to write it down. Otherwise, I can't get it out.
Okay. And I also want you to realize that that can be a book, okay? People need to hear what you've gone through, how you felt about it, all the little things that have happened along the way. So, I mean, you don't get scared when I say it should be a book, but just keep writing this out and keep track of it, you know? I see another gentleman in your life, not this guy. I see another gentleman coming in and just being a really great, loving, generous guy. Well, let's hear what Beth has to say. I'm sorry, I've been babbling on. Beth, what do you have to say?
No, it's okay. I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was thinking that this person, this guy, might be somebody that you discount at first, like somebody that you're like, not him, but maybe it is him, you know, like somebody that you just completely think you'd be incompatible with. Or maybe you even don't like them at first, but if you give it a chance, then you will like them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Definitely,
yeah,
it makes sense
funny.
To me. I know I'm stubborn and hard-headed and choosy and whatever, you know.
Right, yeah.
This guy's got a good sense of humor. Because I was like,
yeah,
when Beth was talking, I heard the guy, and he's like, yeah, blah, 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 and he's like, starts laughing. So I mean,
that's cool.
That's one of my, that's the one thing that I always said that I won't date anyone unless they do have a good sense of humor, because I'm very quick-witted and enjoy laughing, and yeah, that's a must. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, I mean, obviously I would love for you to be out of that relationship you're in immediately, but I know that is not possible right now. But just bide your time and understand that this won't be your life forever. That won't be your life forever. And you keep looking forward and clearing yourself of all the pain and all the sorrow from your past, okay? And
okay.
All of his emotions, the boyfriend's emotions. You don't need that, but you're taking it on, you know, and we can't do that. We can't keep taking that stuff on. So you're going to clear yourself with the etheric tornado, and you're going to keep writing. I love to hear that you have a journal. You got 7 journals. That's wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, we're going to get out of this situation, Gia. We're going to. Believe it.
I hope so, because it's like I'm almost feeling like I'm ready to just give up, you know. And I know I can't do that. I've come too far. I didn't fight stage 4 and win for no reason, I keep thinking, you know.
Exactly.
Yep.
You're meant to be here. So, I mean, I'm glad you're here, and I'm sure there's believe me, it's going to play out in the next couple months where you see exactly why you're still here. You're going to meet people. You're going to go through different things. You're going to have some surprises, good surprises, and you're going to understand why you had to go through what you went through eventually, you know.
Okay.
I know it's hard. It's hard right now. I know. It's like, really? What the hell? I need some relief right now. But you will get that relief. You will. Trust me, you will.
You know, there's a lot of resources available to people when they're going through something like I did, but when it's all said and done, there aren't any resources to help you get back to some sort of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know. I know. It stinks. But, I mean, you're doing the best you can right now. Just understand that, you know. You're doing the best you can, and you will break free of this, you know, I call it a purgatory of sorts. But, I mean, maybe I'm being a little too harsh on the boyfriend. But, I mean, it really is like a purgatory before you're going to get past this and be able to leave and, you know, be with somebody who really appreciates you and loves you, you know?
That'd be wonderful. That's so, gosh,
yeah.
To have that. I wouldn't even know what to think.
I know. But, see, that's why I want you to understand that you deserve that, though. Gia, it's important that we understand that we can't have any doubt that we deserve that. And you have to own that. You have to realize that. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be absolutely thrilled every time I wake up. You know what I mean? You deserve that. Understand that, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're welcome. Beth, do you have any parting words? Sorry, is that...
I don't really have anything I can add to that. That's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head.
Okay. Will you let us know what happened, Gia?
I will. I most certainly will, and I really appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, sure. We appreciate you. Listen, things are going to get better. You have to trust that. They're going to happen. It's going to happen. I know it. I know it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Gia. Take it easy, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. It's so hard, you know? I mean, oh, God. Like, people, the human spirit amazes me how strong people can be. And it's just, like, amazing, you know? Okay, so are you ready for another one, or do you want to take a quick break?
I just had a sneezing fit, so if we could take a quick break for a minute, I can go blow my nose.
Okay. Okay.
That would be great.
All right, so, well, actually, it's 11:43. So listen, if you guys are on the call, we will get to your readings. The show may end. It's going to end at midnight at 12. So if you want to hear the rest of the show, or if you're called in for a reading, just stay put. But if you want to hear the rest of the show, you must call in to 818-369-0327. And we'll try to get to as many of you as we can. Okay, so we're going to play this song, and we'll be back in 3:57. Thank you, guys.
This song again.
Go on, thinking, nothing.
Of course, that was The Cars with Drive. I love The Cars. I got a little crush on Ben. So Benjamin Orr. Anyways, whatever. He's so cute. He's not alive anymore. So, okay. So let me see. Next caller. Hold on. 703? Let's see who we have at 703. 703?
Hello. I'm also in Virginia.
Woohoo.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah, Northern Virginia.
What is with all of us in Virginia tonight, y'all?
I don't know.
Funny.
It's a sign. Something.
It is.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I live by the Dulles Airport. That part of Virginia.
Do you know where that is, Beth?
It's up in Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about the geography of Northern Virginia, but I know where the Dulles Airport is.
Yeah, up the street from where the Redskins train. So
there you go. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow.
Or whatever they're called now, right?
I know, Washington team. I think that's what they're called now.
The Washington football team.
Yeah.
Isn't that
something
creative?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I said. Come on, something different. So my question is, last weekend my son actually got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a great thing. But my thing is, there was some drama around the dinner. We had a dinner with my ex's new wife and her kids and my future daughter-in-law and, you know, all big family. And my son thinks that someone told my son that I was not going to go to this dinner if my ex-husband's wife was there. I never said that. So I don't even know who started this rumor. I believe my ex-husband is trying to sabotage the wedding and make him, you know, and her, like, you know, people that would, I mean, so they can actually run the wedding, you know, like plan the whole thing and like sort of kick me out. I mean, that's my gut feeling. What do you guys get?
Oh, that's weird. Okay, so what was your name? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Andrea.
Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
Yeah.
Okay, so the quote from the book that it's so weird that you're saying about your son getting married. Here's the quote from the book that I got for you. Her skin was pale but rouged at the cheeks by the wind and cold. The reddish curls peeked from under the heavy hood. She looked like an angel. Abby, Abby, I called. A bride, a girl. So that's kind of weird, huh? Yeah. So, what do I think about that? Huh. I don't know who started to feel uncomfortable about this or whatever, but I mean, so would the girl have anything to do with this? The new,
oh,
you know,
Beyonce?
Your
phone? Oh, no.
Okay.
No, we get along great.
Okay.
Is that my ex-husband's wife is she's a witch and a half, but.
I bet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And my ex-husband's he's still very jealous and still very angry that I left him because he's a control freak and very verbally abusive, and we haven't spoken since 2007 when we got divorced, and we had a three-hour dinner, still didn't say a word. Yep. We had a 3-hour dinner, still didn't say a word to me. So, I mean, why would he, to me, he's the only one that would actually say something. Why would my son say that, you know, I'm not going to go to the dinner if my, you know, ex-husband's wife is there? I could care less. I mean, you do you. You stay in your lane. But I did make it very clear that I am his mother, and anybody planning a wedding will not be you.
Right. Yeah. I think that your son just got a little spooked about the whole thing. He felt like he didn't want there to be any drama or something. Does that make any sense?
Yes. He's saying that I started drama. I don't even know what you're talking about. I never said this. And he's like, well, if I said this, why didn't you come and ask me? I think he's just starting his own shit in his own head because I don't know. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. You didn't say anything like that, but he just assumed that was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, did the wedding already happen?
No. They just got engaged last weekend.
Okay.
They're going to plan for next fall.
Okay, good. But you assured him that nothing was like that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I did. I never said that. As much as I don't like her, I would never say that.
Right. Yeah. But I think he just wants everything to be perfect, and he doesn't want any, like I said, drama happening. You know? Beth, what are you picking up, Beth?
So this is kind of funny. What I got from the gentling box is the fire-scarred body on its side was still intact. The clothes had mostly burned away, but here and there dark shreds and tatters clung to the black flesh, making the whole sight worse and reminded me that I'd set fire to a human being. So that is pretty violent and nasty. So what I really think is that your son is just afraid of drama, whether it's real or imagined, you know, wants everything to go smoothly, and that's the basis of it altogether. Just doesn't want any, you know. I know, you know, my own sons are like, they're always afraid I'm going to do something crazy, you know.
Yeah, my sons are the same thing. Don't cause any drama. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't have drama. I said, yes, you do. You always have drama. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Stephen.
I'll react to
your reaction. So if you want to start some crap, I'll start some crap back. But I don't, you know, I could care less what you do.
Yeah.
But I kept saying
to
him before he even got engaged, you remember I'm the mother and she's a stepmother. Just keep that, you know, in mind. She did not. It would be different if she raised you
important.
When you were 6. Yes. Like, if I got divorced when you were 6, that'd be different. When I got divorced, you were 18. You were already an adult. She has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I understand that, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand where they are coming from, too. So they just want everything to go smoothly, and they're imagining, like, the worst-case scenario, you know? Like, probably from watching movies where crazy stuff happens, you know.
But you want some drama? I'll start some.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a problem. I will start some. So sometimes,
right,
you know, he's like his father.
Andrea, the good part is you got away from the guy, you know.
Right.
Well, my future daughter-in-law, you know, when she said she first met my son, she said he was an asshole. I said, like his father. And treated his ex-girlfriend like an idiot. And I said, I don't know. I mean, I love her to death, but I don't know if that marriage is going to last. I mean, they've been together 5 years, and I don't know. And I spent the next 5 years, that just falls apart because my son can be a butthead, you know, like his dad. I was like, what is wrong with you? So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll
I feel like
that.
she's gonna straighten him out.
I hope so. I hope so because he literally screamed and yelled at me Well, she was telling me the story how he proposed. And I said, if you want some help with the wedding, I'm planning out, you know, I'll be happy to help you. And he started screaming at me in front of her. I'm like, what, are you kidding me right now? And I said, you're going to marry this?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot.
And then
somebody needs
to
take him down a notch.
Yeah, I said something to my ex-husband and my son because I said, I wanted to know who said this crap. He got on the phone. Literally, you see the veins popping out of his head. He's screaming, I mean, so bad. I hung up on him. I said, you will never disrespect me. I don't care who you are.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Right. Yeah. No. Idiot.
See,
I mean, my own son.
I know. Right. So I would suggest, Andrea, that you just, I mean, just freaking don't worry about who said what, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
It's like the marriage, you know, you guys will make plans and you'll do all that stuff. And, I mean, it's going to go fine. You know what I mean? It's going to be absolutely fine. And I feel like the wife that he has now, I don't know. It's like there's something, I don't know. Something's going to, I don't know. I don't want to cast aspersions, but I feel like I feel like she's not even going to be with him at that wedding, you know?
Well, my younger son, when they first got married or something, he said he would treat her just like he treated me. But he's like, oh, she's a great woman. She's this, she's that. I'm thinking, she's a witch and a half with the B. And, I mean, are you kidding me right now? So she's a gold digger. She had no job. She was a teacher assistant. My husband makes excellent, like, six figures. He's a, you know, like a design engineer for the government, you know, makes buku money. And she was just a gold digger. She saw an opportunity. And when we were getting divorced, she was nothing but just like, disdain for me. I don't even know the woman. I mean, what's your problem? You can have him. I don't care less. We're getting divorced here. Take it, you know, go for it. Let him abuse you too. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I think she's going to be gone pretty quickly, actually, you know. So I don't think there's going to be any incident happening at the wedding. So your son shouldn't worry about that, you know.
Okay, well, I'll let you know if they do, you know, they split up or something, because I'll be, like, dancing for joy. I'm just kidding, no, not really. I mean, I wish ill on anybody, but, you know, when you treat people a certain way, karma's a bee. It will come back and bite you in the butt for it. Tenfold.
Totally. I agree. You can't escape it, really, you know?
Mm-mm. Nope. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So did you have any other questions, Andrea?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, other than love life, you know, men here suck too. Virginia men, I don't know what's wrong with them.
I've heard.
There's something in the water.
They think the first date's coming to my house. They want to come into my house on the first date. I'm like, I don't know you. You can't come here. Come on now.
Really? Yeah, no kidding, right? Jesus.
Yeah. And they're like 50 years old doing the, you know, kid stuff.
Mhm.
Oh, I feel this so hard, for real.
Yeah. You know, I'll be 59 in January, so it's the last I can say I'm in my 50s, and people in their 50s got, you know, childhood games. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
I mean, there's one out there,
but
I don't, you know.
Yeah, I feel like there is one that you're going to meet, Andrea, and it's like through some kind of, do you belong to some social thing or something, so social club or something like that, some club that I want to say it's like, I don't know what you have down there, but we have this thing here. It's like a, you know, town meeting group or something like
meet
that.
Meetup group,
I mean, yep.
Yeah, meetup groups.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be through something like that, I feel. Let me see. I don't know. This doesn't have to be his name, but I keep getting the name Rob. I don't know why. So,
okay.
Well, you know, just keep that in mind. I mean, you know, that doesn't have to be his name, but I feel like you're going to meet him through a group like that.
Okay. Yeah, I met a guy today. We were chatted for like 5 hours on the phone, and then we had dinner, and we got to talking. And then he wanted me to send him naked pictures when I got home. I'm like, what? Are you what?
They all do that. I don't understand why.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
What is wrong with them?
I don't know. He's like, he goes, well, I said, I'm just getting to know you because I sent him a picture. I had a picture, a couple of pictures, but no naked pictures. And he's like, well, can you send me a naked picture? I'm like, what? Oh, dude, you just ruined a whole entire day in 5 seconds by asking for a naked picture.
Oh, I know, really. What the hell kind of crap is that? That's what
Does it really? Do they really think it's going to get them anywhere? I mean, what?
It's going to get you blocked.
I know. Yeah.
Evidently, they get somewhere with somebody, which is really scary.
It's going to get you blocked. I mean, you know, you spent...
Yeah.
The entire day, 5 hours, 6 hours on the phone, conversing, then we have dinner, and then we're, you know, exchanging more conversations. And when I get home, it's like, okay, can you send me a picture? Like, what, something more. I'm like, what? Go, yeah, naked picture. I'm like, what? Oh, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm telling
you, men in the DC area are just idiots.
Yeah.
They are.
So
they are.
For your potential like suitors in the future, Andrea, ask them what book they're reading.
Okay.
And if they say I'm not reading a book, say okay, goodbye.
That's good advice.
You can tell a lot about a man from if he reads or what book he's reading. So try that in the future.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's fine.
Some wizard tricks.
No, dude. Crazy.
Do you have dark hair, Andrea?
Am I what?
Do you have dark hair?
I do have dark hair, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you're very attractive.
Well, thank you.
Well, are you?
Like the last caller. Oh, the other caller. I don't think so. No, I do think so. So, yes, I do think so.
Good.
Yeah.
You don't
no,
have that
yeah,
confidence that you think you're attractive. You're not going to attract anybody.
Right. Yeah.
You have to think yourself as attractive. Otherwise, you're just going to attract the energy. The universe knows. You put out that bad energy, you're going to keep getting that bad energy back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Give yourself your own affirmations.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Our own affirmations are better than this other crap that comes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Make a picture. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, really.
I'm sure it's the first you heard of that one. I was like, what?
Yeah,
it's not the first for me, though. I get a lot.
I would be disgusted. I would be like, are you freaking kidding me? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I sent a picture back of a naked chicken once that I was getting ready to cook.
Well,
that wasn't
go.
Appreciated.
I had to try that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't appreciated at all.
that's a good one.
These idiots, you know.
Yeah, I know. And they deserve what they get. They're in the 40s and 50s and not even young. It's like, come on now. What are you teaching your kids?
I know. They got nothing to lose. That's thinking.
No.
You know? They got nothing to lose.
No. One said he was going to come visit me for the weekend from Maryland, and then next thing you know, Monday, he sends me a picture that he was in an accident, an MRI machine. Then he's saying, you think I'm lying, send me a picture of a car accident. Don't you know, I did a search on that, took the imaging, the picture, did a reverse imaging search, and it came up a website from an accident from 2019. I said, really? You think I'm stupid?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, God.
I took a snapshot of the website and the picture and said, you think I'm stupid. I said, you couldn't come up with that.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I tell you. I know, right?
Oh, my God.
DC men. Yeah.
He's freaking idiots. They're idiots.
Yeah, he's 48
you know?
Years old. 48 years old. And then he said he was in John Hopkins. I said, oh, really? I called John Hopkins? They never heard of him there. He's not even there. I said, you think I'm stupid?
I used to, like, toy around with the idea of writing a book about these adventures. I really should, honestly. But your experiences are so much like those I had, you know, like, I got divorced in 2015, my husband and I separated in 2015, and the adventures from then until I decided I was done with it all, just funny. Oh, man, it could be the biggest humor book ever.
Yeah, I know, I could write a blog of the people, what people would do. I mean, this is not the first. Like, you said you had you was dehydrated. I said, from the time that you're going to get in your car and call me, somehow you passed out and hit your head in the accident and was dehydrated in the MRI machine. Come on now. Your story's full of holes.
Oh, man.
How come you didn't call and text me? Well, my sister had my phone. I said, your sister had your phone the whole weekend? I just got it back. I'm like, what? Come on. How do you come up with this stuff? It takes too much energy to come up with this stuff. How do you come up with this stuff?
No kidding. Oh, my God.
That's what I said.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Oh, well. I'm sure you're going to end.
Well, I really hope that you will find somebody who is not one of these assholes soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Golly.
Me too.
You know, I know there are men out there who are decent. It's just that, unfortunately, you know, especially for women of a certain age, or any age, really, it's... you know, the vast majority seem to be not decent. So, but you know, if you're interested in keeping up, you know, and if that's what your goal is to land a decent relationship for once and for all, then you will. You just have to, you know, be smart like you are, and weed through the bad ones, unfortunately.
Yeah, do the Google image search just like I did. So there's people who are still listening.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I mean, it really involves being super smart, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even know his last name, so I knew where he worked and his first name. I put in first name, where he worked, boom, LinkedIn popped up. And I went from there to his Facebook page. I'm like, okay. And then he said he was going to come up here. He worked for a hotel. He's going to come up here and get a hotel room. I called the hotel, no reservation. I think, you don't think I did my research? Come on now.
It's a shame that you have to do that.
It's sad that I had to do that. It's so, and you're 48 years old. It's very sad that I had to do that.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'd be like, I'm not going to come this weekend. Okay, well, don't tell me you're going to call me. I'm getting in my car now. I'm calling you. And then go ghost the entire weekend. I was like,
oh. Right.
Yikes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, his karma's going to come back.
I definitely feel like you're going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Despite all the drama, all the ridiculousness surrounding, you know, all of the things that you're going through right now, you're definitely going to be just fine.
Yeah. 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 The universe will take care of me.
Yep.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what happens, Andrea.
I will. I'll let you know. I'll keep updated, you know, any more wedding stuff. So,
yep,
or men
definitely.
Stuff.
Are you from Virginia originally?
No, I'm from Massachusetts originally.
I knew it. I said you sound like Massachusetts.
Yes,
I'm
but
in
it's
Massachusetts.
The car.
I'm in,
when I say the
I'm
car, it's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Usually people ask me, What part of New York are you from? I'm not from New York.
Yeah, I know, right? You do sound like you're from New York, but you also sound like you're from Massachusetts, you know? I don't talk like that. Like, where did you live in Massachusetts, just out of curiosity?
In Needham.
Needham, okay. So that was closer to Boston. I don't have that accent. It's weird, but I do kind of have a Massachusetts accent, I guess, you know. But I was like, she's
where
definitely
from?
Not from. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm in Massachusetts. I'm in Springfield.
Oh. Okay, I lived in Long Meadow as a kid.
Oh, my God. What's your last name? I grew up in Long Meadow.
It was Berger, but I was a real, real, real old kid. Then we moved. I lived in Framingham. I lived in Sudbury. I lived in, where else did I live? I have a good friend from Worcester, but people in Worcester don't have any accent. They don't have any accent up there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Springfield.
So
no accent.
So where did you live in Long Meadow? Out of curiosity.
I don't even know. I was a little,
there?
Little kid. I don't even know. I just know we lived there because there's pictures of me there.
Okay.
I don't remember. I lived in Southie as a kid as well for 1 year. Southie. That was interesting.
Yeah, I bet it was. I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny because Beth is living in Virginia and I'm in Massachusetts. Jesus, and you've lived in both places.
See, it's a sign. I was adopted, and my biological mother is a psychic. She lives in Brockton, Massachusetts, and so sometimes I just know things, and sometimes it freaks me out. But she was lowest on the line was her radio show. She would do her psychic like readings or like her, you know, whatever she would like past lives, whatever she would do. You know, it's interesting. And I mean, we still talk every once in a while, but I just know things before they happen, and sometimes I scare myself. But it's very interesting, to say the least. But I talk to her once in a while, and we have the accent. I can't read. I've never been in tune to read other people.
Really? Okay. Well, I know it's hard to give yourself a reading when you're a if you're psychic, it's hard to tell yourself what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
I sometimes I know what's going to happen before it happens.
Right.
That's just for myself.
Right.
Like I was in a supermarket, and I said, this lady's going to have a baby, and we're talking, so sure enough, she was pregnant. I was like, okay. I'm like, all right.
Right. But
and
I was
watching The Voice 1 year, and I picked every single winner before they were announced. I'm like, okay, all right, thank you. So,
but Andrea, would you ever consider delving more into that and honing that skill?
I would, sure. I don't know how to do it, but I would, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you might want to.
Well, you definitely can.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like living proof that you can. I was like, I don't know how many months ago, absolutely a skeptic. I was like, I went on a show with Kareen, and because I was like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any of this stuff. And then within weeks, I'm just like, wait a minute, y'all. It's a thing that everybody has. It's an innate ability that every human being has. And you can you can develop it, you can learn more, and you can, just do with it what you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, how would you know I had dark hair? I mean, come on now.
Well, I mean,
you wouldn't
it
know.
Would be either dark or light, right? I mean, that's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, or redhead, a blonde. I mean, I could have, you know, colored hair or whatever. I mean, I was born, my hair was like pitch black. My hair was like black when I was born. It was like not so much now, but
Right. I mean, because to me, you remind me of an Italian. I'm Italian, and I know you're not
Italian. I'm Jewish.
Jewish. Okay. Same thing, Andrea.
Same thing.
Right?
Might as well be.
So, yeah, totally. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I felt like there was some affinity between me and you with the, you know, with, I don't know why I said, because I saw you with dark hair. It was like, is it like almost, it's like shoulder, not shoulder length, a little bit above shoulder length. Is that what it looks like?
I just had a cut in Easter, but it's little below, little past my shoulders now. But it was cut above my shoulders, but now it's grown a little bit.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, what, you know, like when I was like talking to you, I just felt like you were very attractive. You're, you know, I just had this sense of you. And then I was like, she's not from fucking Virginia. And
love that accent.
Excuse my language.
Okay.
So, Andrea, hook up with me and Beth on. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So look up Elizabeth Blue, because that's who Beth is. And I am Corrine DeWinter. D-E-Winter.
Okay.
The winter.
Okay.
So hook up. And,
okay.
Because I would love to, like, keep in touch with you, because I just feel like there's something here, you know?
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Wicked pizza, man.
Wicked pizza. Pizza.
Wicked pizza.
Oh, I understand that, believe it or not. So.
Do you?
Yeah, because I've been around Corrine for so long.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
That's too funny.
I love regionalisms. I love it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, pizza is like real of a Boston thing. Like, you have to be from Boston to say, like, pizza. But wicked is the whole thing, but pizza is like, you know, wicked pizza. That's like a real Boston thing.
I still say wicked all the time.
Wicked,
know?
Yeah, wicked, all, like, yeah, that's wicked, man. Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very New England, like, freaking whatever. Very, very Massachusetts, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's whatever.
Whatever. So, seriously, keep in touch, okay?
I will. I will do that. Thank you. It was awesome talking to you, too.
You too. You too. Take it easy. We'll talk again.
Okay, I will. Have a good night. Okay, bye.
Bye. That's so funny, isn't it?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's so weird. Okay, so 770.
Hello, ladies. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
You hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, great. My name is Maddie, and I'm calling from Georgia. I would like to know, maybe you can help me with this. I saw light through a vase. I took a look at my vase the other night, and there was a light shining straight through, and I thought, wow, there's a hole in it? So I walked over, and I rubbed my hand across it. There's no hole, but I saw that light inside that vase. And I thought, what's going on with me? And today I went into the service station, gas station, to pay for gas. And I looked back and said, oh, my God, I forgot the number. And I looked and I say, and I saw a 7, but it was a 4. But I saw a 7 plain as daylight. And so I'm a little concerned about, is that, I can't figure out just what it is. Is that considered as paranormal?
Well, I mean, so you saw, so Maddie, you saw light through a vase, right?
Yes.
That shouldn't have been there, right?
There's no light in the vase. There's no light in the vase, but I looked and I saw the light shining straight through the vase. It's like there was a little hole and the light inside the vase. So I walked over and I rubbed my hand and there's no hole, there's no light, and it's like, but it went away.
Okay. What was the vase? I mean, what was it? I mean, who owned it? Where were you?
Oh, I was at home, in my home.
Mm.
Actually, it's a, it's a vase, a Chinese accessory. And it's just like there was a little hole there, and I saw the light inside the vase. And
right.
I thought,
okay. And you were.
And I know I saw the 7
you,
when I went to the gas station. And I looked. He said, no, that's not a 7. That's a 4. I said, what's wrong with my eyes? What's going on?
Right. So you want to know why you saw that light.
Paranormal?
I think it was something to show you something. It was there to show you something, Maddie. So let me ask you something. Do you need proof of things every time you encounter, like, do you need proof of things? Are you one of those people that need proof of what is happening? Like, do you say, let me see the documents and stuff like that?
Well, I am a seeker. I do like to analyze. And my friend said to me recently, she told me that I like to get to the bottom of things.
Right.
I don't know if that will be needing proof, but I definitely analyze things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think a little too much.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe, but that's a good thing to have about yourself. Beth, what are you thinking right now?
I'm thinking that somebody's trying to tell you something, and maybe it's your mother. Is your mother on the other side by chance?
She is, yes.
Hmm.
I'm wondering if she's trying to, you know, just say hello, I kind of see somebody in my mind. She's like waving, not really trying to tell you anything specific, but just saying hello.
Hello. Okay. Well, that's, I like that. Yes, I like that.
Did her name start with an M by chance?
That's so true. Yes.
Mhm. Mhm. Cause and this might not be her name, but the book that in the gently box, the page that I opened to, it says. I recall that summer afternoon spent climbing up the narrow, winding streets. Mimi's delight in the ancient clock tower, the turreted houses like minarets with their mosaic-tiled roofs, the crumbling citadel perched above the town like a brooding cormorant. So there's a lot of M's in that sentence or those sentences, and the name Mimi is there. It's just an interesting sentence or interesting grouping of words.
Mm-hmm. It is. So was her name Maddie also?
No.
Or was
it, her
was
name
it
was
Mimi?
Mary. Mary.
Mary. Oh. Did anyone call her Mimi?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
She had a
okay.
nickname, but she had a nickname, but it wasn't Mimi. No.
Okay. That's so interesting. So, Maddie, do you pray at night?
I usually pray in the shower.
Okay.
On the water.
And Do you pray for your mother as well?
No.
You don't? Okay.
No, I don't. I don't pray for her, no.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm wondering because I feel like Beth is onto something here. With your mom wanting to show you something. Like, so if your mother was to come through in that way, does it make sense if she said to you, it's okay, that everything would be okay with the decision you made?
The decision that I'm making? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that would make sense, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like that light, I mean, that's definitely a sign. It is, as you say, paranormal, but, I mean, it's really from spirit that happens, and you're questioning it, and you want to get to the bottom of it, and I feel like it was a sign for you that it is a good decision, like that you made the right choice or you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, the reason I asked was it paranormal because I have been told that I have that, ability, but I never took it very seriously until I saw shadows, and I thought, who are those people? And a few things have happened that make me question, like, wow, and. I have a very good friend who is have those abilities, and I asked him about it. He said, sure. He told me, yeah, you know things when you see things that others don't see. And I say, okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I said, okay. And the seven, I just saw that seven is plain as day, and it was a four. And I thought, wow, now I was born on the 7th. I say, why am I saying the 7th? And I thought, my one thought was maybe I should play that number. 700?
Right.
700 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the number 7 or multiples of 7 mean something to you. Maybe you don't know what they are at the moment, but... Any multiples of 7.
I do have a lot of 7s around me. I was born on the 7th, and January is the 7th. It was January the 7th. That equal to a 7. And I do numerology as a hobby, and my soul urge is a 7. So I do have about, in my name, I have a 7. So I do have quite a few 7s around me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and I feel also, Maddie, that there's ancestors of yours that are trying to connect with you, but you know, and I think that when you're saying you're seeing these figures, there's ancestors that want to connect with you, but you're kind of pushing them away. You're not paying close enough attention to them. Does this make sense to you?
Oh. My ancestors are trying to get my attention. Oh. I'm not paying them any attention? What did I need to do?
You need to pay attention. When these things happen to you, like the light and everything, you need to ask questions. What are you trying to show me? What would you like me to know? When you saw the figures, who are you? What would you like to know? What is the name? Does the name Eleanor mean anything to you, Eleanor?
Eleanor. No, not in the. No.
Okay. I want you to make note of that, because there's something to do with. I see this woman as I'm talking to you. I see this woman, and she's got like mostly gray hair, and she's like walking with a cane. She's very old. I'd say she lived in not even the 1900s. I'd say 1860 or something like that. That's
wow.
What I'm getting. But anyway, she went through so much, and she's like, hold on. I'm trying to see what she's saying. Hold on. She said, I went through so much. I went through so much struggle, and I am here right now, and I can help. I can help. Are you Madeline? Is that your name, Madeline?
No, Maddie.
Maddie. Okay, it's just Maddie. Okay. So who is Madeline? Was there a Madeline?
I don't know of a Madeline.
Okay, because I think that you are named after somebody, but I'm not sure if this is her. Or
I was
what,
named
anyways,
after
what
an auntie. I was named after an auntie.
Okay. But there's somebody in your ancestry here that is saying, I am going to help her with her skills. She has these skills right now, but she doesn't realize she can do with them. I am here to show her, okay? This is an old woman. Like I said, I'm seeing she's an old woman. She's hunched over. She's like walking with a cane, and she's coming out of this dark room into the light, and she's like, I am here. I am here, and I will help her. She needs to ask for my help and understand that I'm here. Okay.
Okay. Eleanor. Wow.
Yeah.
1800. So, that was, yeah. There's no one that I can ask about that. No. Eleanor. I would have to. No.
That's
maybe
okay.
I ask
you
my
can,
God.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, the point is, Maddie, the point is that you can carry this forward to your, you know, to the benefit of yourself and others. You can carry this knowing talent forward, but you have to pay attention to spirit, okay? And I know you're busy, and you're busy. I know you're busy. You got your life going on. You got to tend to certain things, but carve time out to listen to spirit and what they're trying to tell you, okay?
Okay. I would definitely start listening more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because yes, my dreams show me a lot, too. My dreams, I say, wow, that dream.
I bet.
That dream was interesting. I dreamt of, this was last year, I had a dream that I was an eagle. And it's like, wow, I woke up and I say, I was an eagle. I flew way up in the sky, and I went on this pole, and I took my claws and held on, and I just threw my hands up like, I'm free. And I thought, wow, that dream is, I woke up and I thought, why am I dreaming that I'm an eagle flying in the sky?
Yeah, so interesting. So, Beth, you brought up the mom. Beth, do you have anything else to say about this?
Actually, I was wondering if you have anybody that you know named Sarah or Marcus. I don't know whether that would be, you know, here now or on the other side, but I got the names Sarah and Marcus.
Marcus, Sarah. No, I know a Mark.
No.
I have a friend that's Mark, but not a Sarah. Not that I know.
Well,
no.
Write these down, Maddie, because these might make sense.
I'm
going to
write Jonathan, Sarah, and Eleanor, Sarah, and Marcus. Yeah, I'm going to write those down.
They could be people that you don't even know who were trying to, make sure that they get something across to you at some point. I don't know. Maybe they have messages. Maybe they're advocates for somebody. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. So this whole light through the vase is like, this is meant to draw you in deeper into this, Maddie. And I hope you recognize that, you know?
It was meant to draw me deeper into what?
Yeah, exploring the spirit realm more.
Oh, exploring the spirit realm more. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's a little scary. Seems like I hold back because I'm like, ooh, it's a little scary.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear that.
It's like, oh wow.
I felt that way too. And you know what? I told myself I'm in control. You have to tell yourself that you're in control too.
I like that.
Yeah.
I am in. That's true. And maybe I need that community also. Maybe I need a community to help, you know.
Absolutely,
yeah.
It's very helpful.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, well, you got us, but, I mean, there's probably something around you where there is a community like that. But you just have to seek it out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some things. Yeah, I do need that because I have some other things that I just don't understand. It's like, wow, I felt hand on me. It's like, I know I felt a hand on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one was around. It's like, that's why I said it's a little scary and make you think you're going crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
The support of other people is definitely, like-minded people is definitely really important because otherwise, you'll think that you're going crazy or you'll deal with people who will tell you that you're going crazy even though you know you're not.
That's very true.
So, exactly. And it's like, the thing is, once you find somebody who thinks like you do and who knows the things you do, you'll know when you meet them, if you haven't already met them. But also, just that affinity is just amazing because there really aren't that many people, honestly. And like, the naysayers are numerous. It's really kind of a hard world.
I totally agree, you know, because my friend did say to me, "Oh no, you don't want to go with it. That's too lonely. It's a lonely place."
Yeah. There's so many people who have negative things to say and reasons to keep you away from whatever you feel like you should be into.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your intuition. It's kind of hard to learn how to trust your intuition, but I think everybody needs to learn to trust their intuition because we all have it.
I have learned to do muscle testing, and I have learned to do muscle testing to ask my body different things, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I kind of got that down to where gives me the right answers. But I'm going to ask you a question about, I have a friend that we've been friends forever, and for a long time we have been friends, but I'm a little confused with him because I feel as though he have mad love for me, but I think when I'm looking at him, it's like something don't add up. I don't think it doesn't. He says that, but it just doesn't add up because it's like, well, when are you going to? He'll call me, and sometimes he'll call me like late at night, like maybe like 11:30 or 12, and this made me just like he needs that female energy, and but he doesn't have much to say. And then this one time he did. That's when he told me that he was madly, he had mad love for me. He had a few drinks, and he said I have. He explained to me that he have issues. He said, "Hey, Maddie, I have issues, Maddie." And my thought was, but I didn't say that much. And my thought was, afterward, was he reaching out, asking me for help, or was it all BS?
I think that he wanted you to witness something. He wanted your help for something. But I'm not sure, you know what I mean, what the end result should be or would be. He's like, he knows that you understand him, and he appreciates you in that way, but he's just not sure. He's not sure which way he wants to go with it. Does that kind of make you?
Well, and what confuses me also, he'll always say we, like he and I, we are going to do this and we are going to do this. And he offered me a spot in his place of business. I'm a by trade, I'm an esthetician, skincare, and he said he wanted me to come in and work and do skincare, and when I decided I was going to do it, that's when the lockdown started, and I said, "Whoop, this is not it," and I just hadn't. I don't know. It's like, but the spot is still there waiting for me, and I thought, he said, "When are you going to do it?" And I say, "Oh," I say, "something about 2 years from now." And he said, and I said, "Something." He said, "Well, you're going to wait for 2 years?" I said, "2 years, I don't know where I'll be in 2 years." He said, "We're going to be right here." It's always what we, why we, and I don't get that, why he used like we, like he and I. We do have that connection, but he but I told me he have issues, and it came from his father, and I'm thinking maybe I need to take the lead. I'm just not used to taking the lead.
Right. Yeah.
I think that I'm thinking or feeling that he really wants you to be in his life forever, but he feels like he doesn't have it all together on his end right now to ask you to join him. He's still in the mode of, I need to have things in order and have everything set before I can ask her to be in my life. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what it is? Oh, but you know what? He did mention that he's going to buy a house, buy him another house. And the other day, was it last week, he and I had the conversation. We were talking, and he said, we are going to have a maid. No, not a maid. We're going to have a chef. And I said, oh. We it's always we, what we're gonna have. And it's like he wants to provide a luxurious lifestyle for me.
Yep. I think if I might interject, Corrine, I know you were on a roll, but I'm just like getting this right now. He's madly in love with you, first of all. And he wants to make sure that he does every single thing he could possibly do to make your life absolutely wonderful. And he has doubt about his ability to do it. So because he has doubts about his ability to do it, he tells you more about what he wants to do. So he wants to, he wants to be with you forever and ever. He wants to marry you, and y'all are together forever. But he wants to provide a chef. He wants to provide a maid. A wonderful, just like, but he also has this idea of what kind of life you want without knowing what kind of life you want, without knowing what you want personally. And so I kind of think that the best thing to do is for y'all to have a conversation. And you lay it out all out on the table, and you tell him this is what I want, and then let him respond to that, and then he says what he wants, and then vice versa. If that, I hope that makes sense, but it sounds like it's a good thing, but there's a communication that needs to happen.
Yes, that's. You're so right on, spot on, yeah. He owns his business, and he expanded his business and made it larger. And when he had all the work done, he said, come here, I want to show you something. He held my hand, and it just felt like the way he was talking to me, like he had me in mind. When he was expanding and doing the big thing, and I thought, this man, but you're so right, it's not enough communication.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to impress you. He wants to impress you. He wants to, and maybe he doesn't realize, though, what he needs to do to impress you. He thinks he has an idea of what he needs to do to impress you, but there might be other things that you want or need from a relationship that he's not even aware of.
I would definitely need to spend time together. Yes. Spend time together, do things together. Yes.
I see a big positive, it's like this big positive, for lack of a better way to phrase it, like a big pile of love around y'all.
It's very nice.
It's very nice, but there's like communication that needs to take place, and y'all will get it right on.
Oh, okay. And what I love about him also that he's very adventurous, meaning that he loves to travel.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. See, y'all love each other, don't you?
I have love for him, yes. It's just like it feels like that we were maybe together sometime way back when, in ancient time or whenever. Like we've
that
been
is
together.
Always possible, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we were husband and wife before sometime. And he always said, God put us together. God put us together.
I'm sure he did.
Wow, that's really nice.
I'm just ready for more togetherness. That's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think y'all are gonna get there, definitely.
Mhm. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow! Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing. That's so amazing. Yep. He wants to impress me. Yes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I see. Yes, I definitely see that. Yes. Mhm. Wow.
Cool. Yeah, that's what men want to do. Men want to impress us women.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's just, you know, the nature of people.
People
want to impress,
yeah,
the other the people they love and make,
mm-hmm,
you know, make a positive impression, make them draw them, you know, they want to draw you in. That's just human nature.
Mhm. Wow. Hmm. Well, I'm gonna play the role.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play the role. Oh my God, I'm so proud of you. Oh my God.
Do it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm gonna play the role. Yep. Yes. Oh, I'm gonna boost his ego even more. Yes.
He's gonna love it. He is gonna love it.
Gonna love it. Yes.
Yeah. Totally. Well, Maddie, let us know what happened.
I definitely will. I definitely will. You guys are on every Saturday evening?
No, well, we try, but we're not on every Saturday, but we try.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'll call back and let you guys know. I will.
Yeah. If you hit follow the show, then you'll know when we're gonna be on. If you just like click on follow the show. Yeah.
Okay. And I would definitely write those names down, Eleanor and Marcus and with Sarah.
Yeah.
Melanie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write those names down because those people might come into my life.
Yeah, no, I just feel like I just really strongly feel like your ancestors are trying to talk to you, but you're not. I mean, it's hard to discern messages, but I mean, I feel like that they are trying to talk to you, Maddie, and that you just, I mean, you just need a little bit more tweaking of you listening to them. Maybe you, through your dreams or when you first wake up, you're going to hear things. But, I mean, it's a very fine line here between you hearing them and, you know, them trying to talk to you and you hearing them. It's a very fine line there, and you're ready to hear them. You're almost ready to hear them. So just start listening, you know?
Okay. Fantastic, because I think I've been a little too nonchalant, you know,
Shove
it off,
yeah,
keep moving.
Right,
exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I waited.
You,
I'm glad I waited. I thought at one point I'm not going to get on. And Spirit would say, no, hold on. I'm enjoying the conversation. I'm enjoying, you know. Because you learn so much when you listen.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Definitely.
Mhm.
Yeah. Certainly. All right. So thank you so much, Maddie. Keep in touch, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you. You guys have a great.
Okay. You're welcome.
A great.
You
Sunday.
Too.
You too.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Okay, and now we have 804741, which is Beth.
I know who that is.
There.
Yeah, Beth ought to know who it is.
I know who that is. I recognize that number. Hi, Mommy.
Hi, darling. Hi, Corey.
This is my mommy, y'all.
Hi there. How are you doing, Dale?
I'm doing good. I wanted to tell you about my dream.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
Well, in the dream, George was a spirit, and he was in the room here, in the bedroom. And then I felt him. I felt his body stretch out beside me. I could feel him next to me. I felt him put his arm over me, and I felt him kiss me on the back of my neck.
Ooh. Wow.
And it lasted a few minutes, and then it was gone.
Oh, my God.
But he used to always kiss me goodnight on the back of my neck.
Wow.
So
what I think about that is that he has learned to do some physical manifesting, you know?
Yeah.
When I first started listening to y'all on the radio tonight, and I thought, I hope I get through so I can tell Corrine about my dream. The lights flickered in this room four times. There was no thunder, no lightning, no storm going on.
Wow.
They flickered. I mean, and it wasn't quick. It was a good 30 seconds between each one. I said, George, I know you're here. Just stay. And they didn't flicker anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. That is amazing. Do you see how much he is trying to show you he's there, Dale?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So
for the people
who might be listening who don't know, my stepfather, George, passed away last November, and he's been, and I've guaranteed that he has contacted some of us. He contacted me. I had confirmation, that's the word I'm looking for. I've had confirmation that he's tried to contact my mother. Obviously, he tried to contact me. He's tried to contact my sister. And I've been trying to help my mother learn, and Corrine definitely has been trying to help my mother learn how to communicate with him, because he was an important part of her life. He was an important part of everybody's life. And it's working. And that's really fabulous.
It is.
It helps me to not miss him so terribly bad.
It really helps
right.
with the grief. I've noticed that
yeah.
it really helps you with your grief, which is important. That's very important.
Yeah. Really.
I mean, I had him cremated, and I'd tell him good morning, or I'll tell him good night. I pat in the box and his ashes are in. I've got pictures in our little home office that I've put up of him. And I always say, good morning, George, or bye, darling, or hope you're doing okay. I mean, I speak to the pictures. And I feel like he hears me.
He does.
Because I honestly feel like he is always in this house in some way.
Mm-hmm. He is. Oh, Dale, you got to believe that, and you know that. You know that in your heart that he's there. You know that.
Yeah. I can, there are times when I can honestly, I don't know how to
you know, you'd feel like somebody's looking at you.
Right.
And I get this sensation that there's somebody staring at me. And there's nobody in the room but me. And so I know it's
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. He doesn't want to leave you. He's never going to leave you. That's the thing. I mean.
We promised each other a long time ago we would never leave the other.
Right, right. And he's keeping his promise, Dale. He's keeping his promise, you know?
He really is. He used
yeah.
to say that we had to die together. And I said, well, I think that's up to God, not us. But soon after he died, I was in the hospital for 9 days with a bleeding ulcer. And I kept seeing visions of him, and it really scared me. Because he had only been dead for 7 days, nine days, when I went in the hospital. And I said, George, please, you've got to let me live. You cannot cause me to die and come to heaven. I'm not ready. And the feeling, the sensation stopped. So I know he heard me. But he since has said he in common, Beth, you've had the talks with him. Or he's communicated to you that he was not trying to hurt me.
Yeah. At that point he didn't know what he was doing. He was pretty new. You know, at that point, he didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't intend to drag you over with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if it wasn't more of he was worried about me.
Well, it's possible that he was worried about you. He probably was worried about you, but he didn't know how to, you know, show that worry. He only did what he knew to do because he only had... you know, certain ways of affecting the physical world at his disposal.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And then, you know, but the people on the other side and us over here, we're all spirits of some sort, really. There's like the, you know, we interpret the way we physically affect things, and they do that differently. So there's like a, it's almost like talking to a different country or a different nationality and having to translate the language kind of thing.
Exactly. That's true. That's exactly right.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
I don't know. Like Beth said, knowing that I can communicate with him has really helped in the grief.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad.
Definitely.
I'm glad Beth can see it. That tells me that it's not just me that's thinking it.
Right. No, Dale, you know what's going on. You know he's there. Trust yourself. Trust that what you're picking up is actually happening, you know, because it is, you know.
I really do. I've gotten a little more confident, especially after that dream. I mean, it was just amazing.
Dreams like that mean something. I mean, it's like an actual visitation.
Yeah.
You know, but that's
oh,
how
sure
it happens. It's not like, you know, you're going to wake up. It's not like it is in movies. You're going to look at, you know, wake up and look, and there's the person, and they're there. You know, it's just, it's a feeling. It's in inside of, you know, in your mind. But
yeah, I mean,
it's not in your mind as in you're making it up. It's in your mind because that's where it has to be. They're because of the different realms that we're all in.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, the sensation of feeling him laying next to me, I was on my side, and he was pressed up against my back.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make sure that you knew he was there.
Yeah. And I could feel his arm over me just as if he was still living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was probably, it took a whole lot of energy for him to do that. So you should really feel lucky.
Yeah, totally.
I mean it was
go ahead.
No, I just said it was amazing. It just...
Yeah, I mean, that's how much he loves you. This is how much love, a strong love can do, even from the other side. They can come and lay with you and do everything that happened for you, Dale. And, you know, I mean, this is, love never dies. It's like he is there. He will always, always be there for you. You know, and I'm so happy that you recognize that.
Oh, I do. I know he's here. I mean, I just...
Good.
And several things have happened. I made a decision about... Well, the house is almost 30 years old, and it needs a lot of restoration. I need the carpet gone and I need the walls all painted. And I decided to do a reverse mortgage, and everything has gone through just like clockwork. I mean, everything has gone through just perfect. And I was kind of dreading that I was going to have to pay for half of the appraisal. And I got a phone call from the agent who said, I've pulled a couple of strings and your appraisal's not going to cost anything.
Oh, good.
That's awesome.
We're still with, I mean, they haven't done it yet, but, I mean, we've had, George did so many little things that will just send the value of the house up more than the county says. So I feel like he had his hand in that too.
Yeah.
But,
definitely.
It, 'cause he and I used to joke about who got the house when the last one died. And he... I won't say it over the radio, but there was one that he said, no, do not let that one have anything to do with the house. And that's one reason I went ahead with the reverse mortgage, because that one was the only reason I was hesitant about the reverse mortgage. But
oh,
Beth,
right.
Beth will be in charge of everything when I leave this side and go to the other.
Well, now everybody
knows.
Well, you're just going to be the administrator of my will.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have somebody to do it.
Yeah, somebody has to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how your other kids are, but Beth is a smart cookie, you know?
Yep, Yeah. It would either be her or my brother, and he might be dead by the time I die.
Or I might be dead by the time you die. You don't know.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, as long as you have a backup plan.
My yeah. brother.
Exactly.
But he's in his 60s, so I don't.
That's it? I thought
yeah.
he was older.
No, he's 10 years younger than I am.
Okay.
I guess I have grandchildren that I could leave in charge.
No, don't leave them in charge.
No. Max is okay. Max would be all right. If he's the, if, you know.
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
options.
Max and Kelsey, I could do it jointly with them.
Yeah. But we're not talking about that right now.
Okay.
No, no. Yeah.
That's a long way off.
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah.